Okay. Well, it's good to be back. I think it's been several Wednesdays since I've been here, and I couldn't remember what we did the last time. And then I had to look at the podcast, and we're on the 10th step on Wednesday night, and we're listening to, read the instructions on the 10th step by Joe McHugh from the Joe and Charlie, from his book, The Steps We Took. I suggest if you can, if you have a chance, order it on Amazon. And it's a great, great study book. It follows the book. It follows how you do the steps, and excellent information, as you'll see tonight. And you can get it on the internet, on Amazon. I went through the step 10 in the book on 84 and 85. I did several podcasts on that. And now we're getting additional information from the steps we took on step 10. Now, you may be new and say, well, I'm not on step 10, and oh no, what am I going to get out of this tonight? Well, the whole purpose of AA is so that I can live sober, right? And I can live sober without having to resort to alcohol or drugs to solve the way I don't like the world going. And we have to learn how to live sober, and the most important step to me for doing that is step 10. Step 10 is how we live in the now, every day, one day at a time. Now, it helps if you do steps 1 through 9 to do step 10, as we're going to look at. But even if you're new, you can see the information we're going to give you is how do you deal with fear, like Matt said? How do you deal with anger? How do you learn to get balance in your day? Because if you don't, and you're living in fear and anger and shame and guilt, most alcoholics drink over that. The other thing is, even if you're not worried about drinking, what is the quality of your sobriety? Do you want to have emotional sobriety? Do you want to have contentment with the way your life is going? And to do that, step 10 really is the deal, because it's how we deal with what happens all day long. It's a step that talks about how we take our inventory of what's happening all day long. And so we work the program one day at a time, and we work the program every minute. And in step 10, I really like Sandy Beach. I mentioned him a lot. He really spoke to me. He died 2 years ago. He was like 83 or 4. I think he died during a meeting during the Serenity Prayer. But he has all of his talks are on the internet. And he really spoke to me. He really knows how to put it. He has a talk I listened to today on how to live in the now. And the 10th step is really how we live in the now, in the moment, so that we're at peace. Because all we really have is right now. But if we separate from right now, then we're not with God. And God is only in the moment. And if we're not in the moment, we're not with God. And we can have peace. So if I get out of the moment, which is the 10th step, is how when you get out of the moment, you get back into the moment. You have tools that we have in step 10, instructions, directions, that if you take these actions, you get back in the now with God. And if you do that, your days are going to be good. And none of us do it perfectly, but it's a tool that I use all the time. I hear people say, and they're sober a long time, they don't work the steps, they never read the book, that's fine. I don't judge that. But if you have what I have, I need to use step 10. Because I always have my self-centered personality. It never goes away. But I recognize it in step 10, and I say, no, Michael, we don't want to go there. So we're going to look at the information on this handout. And I think we did 2 pages before I had my surgery. I thought I'd be out 5 or 6 days, but what's the expression, shit happens, I guess I could say that. And my leg was really swollen, and it is, but it's better now, and I'm feeling good, and he fixed the problem. We'll go to page 124, and we're probably going to spend a couple weeks on this. It's a lot of good information. So Patty made a bunch of copies, but bring it back next week. He talks about where we start with Jesus. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. That's the center, the spirit, with all thy mind. That's our second division, and thy neighbor as thyself. And our steps are really designed to do that. Steps 1, 2, and 3 are the heart. And we get ourselves in order in step 1, 2, and 3 with God. And the right order is that God is God and I'm not God. God's my director, I'm the actor, he's the father, I'm the child, he's the employer, I work for him. And as long as I keep that attitude, my days are good. Now in the 10th step, whenever you're bothered, it's because that you're not, God's not your director right then, you are. And so how do you get back into the moment where God's your director? And we don't want to stay separated from God too long because we're alcoholics. And I heard somebody say that we have a, what did they say? Pissed off personality disorder. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. And so we get very emotional about things that happen during our day, and we want to learn to deal with it. Now, steps 4, 5, 6, and 7 are the mind. That's my thinking. And I always have to watch my thinking now to see when it's separating from God. And that's what we learn in steps 4, 5, 6, and 7. We learn the truth about our resentments and our fears and our conduct. We learn about our character defects, which we're willing to turn over to God. And steps 8, 9 is how I make things right with the world, with our neighbors, my relationships with others. And our steps work along the design of life. He says, this is nothing new. This is knowledge as old as man himself. The power of it is that through the first 9 steps, we have put our lives in order. Now, I heard somebody today say that they really liked the promises. They were new. But the promises that we read at the meeting are the 9-step promises that occur in the book after you're working the first 9 steps and you're in step 9. Because when you're in step 9, then you have a relationship with God. And then those promises will come true. That's where you have conscious contact with God. And all those promises are the result of that. But then there's a warning. The contact is fragile. So they then bring us to the 10th step, which says we're going to continue inventory. And we're going to monitor all day long for when we're outside of the world of the Spirit. In the big book, it says we enter the world of the Spirit. The world of the Spirit is where I want to live. The world of the Spirit means that I'm in contact with God. I'm in the now. And when I'm with God and I have a relationship with God, my life goes very well. And it says we're going to watch for how that relationship is all day long so that we can maintain it. So the first 9 steps give you the ability to get that connection with God. And then step 10 is how you stay connected all day long. And step 11 is how you use prayer and meditation to improve your contact with God so that you'll be able to carry out his will for you and get that power. It says, the miracle of the program of alcoholics is that it has boiled all the principles of living down into these steps. See, AA didn't create anything. It just used and borrowed from so many sources, these steps on how we live. The steps correct anything that is wrong with our living, and the promises come to us after those 3 dimensions of our lives are in order. Steps 10, 11, and 12 come along next. They are different. The big book talks about a 4th dimension of existence, which a lot of us don't really understand. I've heard people comment on what the 4th dimension of existence is. I had a thought today that the 4th dimension of existence is when I'm in the now with God. And I didn't know about that before because I lived separated from God and I didn't realize it. I was living in my mind. Anybody else do that? Self-centeredness? And I didn't realize that the world I was in really didn't exist except in my head. And I was separated from the power. Chuck Chamberlain, the famous speaker in New Pair of Glasses, says there's only one problem for an alcoholic, conscious separation from God. Now, what does that mean? It means I consciously, with my mind, separate from God and the universe in my mind. I decide what I need every day. I decide what I want. I decide how everybody should be. Anybody do that? I decide what I need to have, and I'm afraid I'm not going to get it. And he says the only solution is conscious contact. And the steps in AA, the whole thing is designed for us to be in conscious contact with God. And that's what's called a spiritual awakening. A lot of people wonder what a spiritual awakening is. It sounds really, really exotic, doesn't it? But all it means is that you suddenly realize that God is doing for you what you cannot do for yourself. And you realize that all day long. So it says, in step 3, we've made a decision to turn our lives over to the will of God. Anybody think that's a good idea? Very good idea, don't you? And that is about as perfectly as we could do that. We just make the decision. And here's a great line: God will take care of our growth. All I have to do is remove the things that block us from God. And I really like, once again, Sandy Beach says, the whole program is called Let Go. Let go of whatever you have in your mind, of your ideas that's bothering you. Let go of it, and then God will take it away. And we remove the things that block us from God, and we do that with steps 4 through 9. Remember, we inventory in step 4 the things that block us from God. And we find out that the things that block us from God are our resentments and fear in our conduct. And they're the result of my character defects, which are triggered by maybe self-centered. It said, if the spirit grows, the mind will grow. And when the mind grows, our relationships with other people and the rest of the physical world will grow too. The growth is unending. And step 10 is the beginning of this growth in our lives. It's how we learn how to do this every day. And remember, it's a journey. It's a spiritual journey we're on. And it changes all the time. You can't imagine if you're new, if you stick with this, what your life will look like in 10 years or 15 years. You can't even imagine how you're going to change, how you're going to change the way you see things. It says step 10 is a way to enter the plan of continuous growth. Now we want to grow closer to our Creator. We read it tonight. Anybody ever hear how it works at a meeting? Anybody ever heard it? Mm-hmm. How does it end? God can and will if He is sought. We're seeking continuously to grow in our relationship with God. And when we do that, we have tools so we're better able to deal with things that happen each day. And so the 10th step is hard in the beginning. That's why you have a sponsor. That's why you have people you call, because when you're new, sober, it's a new experience living each day. But the more you do it, the quicker you are to recognize when you're separated and how you get back again. He says, everything is either growing or deteriorating. You may look at a stone building and think that it's not changing, but it's actually deteriorating. This is why we practice these steps, these principles, on a daily, continuous basis. I heard somebody say, what I did yesterday won't help me today. See, what I did for recovery yesterday won't help me today. Today, I have to work the steps. And we start out in the morning by asking God to direct our thinking, right? And then all day long, we use the 10th step to see where we separate from God and how we get back. And then the 11th step in the big book, we inventory at night for how we did. Where were we selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Were we kind and loving to all? Were we thinking about ourselves all the time, right? Where were we to blame? And then it says we ask God's forgiveness and what corrective measures so we can do better the next day. So this is what the deal is all about. It said a good, healthy step 10 is always based on how well we have understood steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I think that's true. I hear a lot about the program of AA at meetings, and people are talking about the program, and a lot of them are talking about the fellowship. Now, the fellowship is powerful, and the spirit of the fellowship, but the program of AA is the steps. And the fellowship is supposed to bring you to the steps, and the steps bring you to God. And why is God important for an alcoholic? Because God gives us a power by which we can live. We don't have the power. And God has the power that solves all of our problems. We don't have the power. So we get it through our relationship with God. I think the inventory, he says, is probably the basis of our preparation. Inventory is used 2 times in the steps, steps 4 and step 10. An inventory is a written list of things. In inventory, we said the things that emanate from the inside out, that it was really our character defects which caused the resentments. What he's talking about is that when you come in and you're new and you're starting your 4th step, you know you're angry, right? Everybody knows they're angry. And you list why you're angry. And then you look at each resentment, and you look at the cause, what you thought they did, and then you look at how it threatened you in some way, and then you say the prayers so that you change the way you see them and you forgive them, and then you look at what inside you caused you to have that resentment. Were you selfish? Were you impatient? Were you judgmental? Were you inconsiderate? Were you dishonest? And those are all the results of being self-centered. And then whenever you get angry again, you say, well, gee, I'm wrong again. Character defects coming in. I don't want to be angry. You say the prayer, God save me from being angry, and you ask God to change the way I see it and let go of whatever the character defect is. When you get used to doing it, you don't like being angry. I don't know about you, but a lot of us were proud of our anger when we came in here. You know, we could really tell people what they needed to know. That really worked well for us, didn't it? Yeah. And if they didn't get it the first time, we were glad to tell them the second time. But that just made us sick. And so we look at everything from the outside in, and when you, in the 10th step, you look from the inside out. And then it says, we trace that to find out the exact nature of our wrongs or character defects. Having done it that way, when we come to step 10, each day throughout the day and throughout our lives, we use these tools when a resentment comes up. So anybody ever get angry during the day or bothered, irritated? If you do, you have tools now so you don't have to stay angry. You could say, God, the big book says it's very clear. If you get angry or resentment, what are you supposed to do? You ask God at once to remove it. You don't want to be angry. And then you can do the columns in your head, and you can see how your character defects and your self-centeredness cause this to be angry. And a lot of times the anger is just in our mind. We decide something based on what we think it should be, and then we're angry about it. Most of our discomforts are caused by our grosser handicaps. Remember, the big book says our grosser handicaps are resentments, fears, and guilt and remorse. Most of our uncomfortable feelings, anybody have uncomfortable feelings in AA here today? Will fit under one of these categories. Now remember, we could take a simple uncomfortable feeling and we can really blow it up. And we can let it dominate our lives. Anybody remember that? Maybe somebody did it today. We don't want to do that anymore. See, we don't want to deal with things in the 10th step right away. We don't want to get angry at 10 o'clock and still be angry at 2:30. We want to get angry at 10 o'clock and stop right away and say, I don't want to be angry. And say, what's the truth of this? Because remember, it's never right to be angry. We talked about that. Anger is never justified. We're always wrong when we're disturbed. What's wrong with our being disturbed? We're disturbed. We're not accepting what is. We're judging something. And we have to change the way we see it. So all we do in AA is we change the way we see everything all day long. You don't like something at 10 o'clock. You're upset. We'll say, gee, I better change the way I see this. And then if you do, you're not upset. Now you can have the choice of staying upset. God gives us the choice, and you see how that works for you. And so this is a step that we use all the time. We never get perfect. We never get spiritually fit, so we don't get disturbed and bothered because we're always self-centered. We have self-will. God never takes that away. But we don't want to act on it anymore. Does that make sense? We want to see it when it's cropping up, and we want to stop, and we want to let go of it. So it says, when we feel something, we try to find out what it is. We can say, I've got a resentment. Now, just saying you got anger and you don't want to have it is a powerful step for an alcoholic. Just to recognize that you're angry and you don't want to be that way, right? Because remember, sometimes you'll get angry and you'll stay angry, and then an hour later you'll say, gee, I didn't have to be that way. And look at all the time you waste and energy and all the harms that cause you. Now, it says we don't have to figure out who did something to us. That's going the wrong way. Instead, we try to see what part of self has been threatened. Now, I've talked about that a lot, and some new people may not understand this, but self-will is really me waking up all day and saying, what do I need to have to be happy in my emotional life, my material life, my sexual life? What I need in those areas to feel good about myself? And then we decide what that is, and we go through the day, and if it's threatened in any way, we get upset. Now, who decided how it should be for me? I did. So the only solution to not being threatened is to say, my real job is just to work for God and serve Him, and God will give me everything I need. Just do what He would have me. Play the role He assigned. And not attach myself to my wants. Attach myself to my service. It's hard to do. But it's something that when you do it, it works really well. It says, we don't pay attention to the first two columns. We go immediately to the third column. We ask, what part of me has been threatened? Now, a lot of times, it's usually fear, and it's usually afraid that we're not good enough, and we manifest that in a lot of ways. We didn't get the sale of the house. We're not getting the raise. We're not getting enough respect at work. This one's not treating me right. And we transfer all those feelings of being threatened, and we get angry at that person or that thing or that situation. And we're the ones who decide to get angry, not them, not the situation. And it says, we know that something has been threatened. You wouldn't have a feeling like this. And you learn that when you do your fourth step. You go through it, and when you go through it enough in your fourth step, you look at all your resentments, it becomes second nature. And if you have any question about this, you can get on the site, and I have what makes up self and resources of recovery, and it has that chart which shows the instincts of life and then self and the manifestations of self. And it says it's usually one of these things: selfishness, society, lack of consideration, fear, self-seeking. Most likely one of these has come into my personality when I'm bothered by anything. Once we identify it, we can deal with it. A key thing here is in any illness is early detection. Step 10 tells us to detect these things early, right at the moment. Now in the big book, it says we watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. Now we don't wait for it, we watch for it. We watch when it's starting, and it says when these crop up. Now you know, wheat starts as a little crop and it gets bigger, right? We don't wait for the corn to harvest. We see when it's starting to come out of the ground. We recognize when we're not in the moment, when we're back in self, and we say, God, please remove this. This is the key to a life of peace and serenity, is to recognize when self is coming up and to stop. It gets easier the longer you do it, because you get tired of getting separated and not feeling good. And when you're new, it's harder, but it's fun when you start learning how you can change. And that's where the spiritual experience is. You're at work, somebody pisses you off, boy, they're just you know what? God, could you please remove them from my life? Blah, 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 blah. And then you say, you know, I don't want to feel that way. They're just who they are. God saved me from being angry. How could I be loving and kind and tolerant to them? And then within seconds, you've changed your whole attitude. Now that's a spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, you'll feel better about that than you will feel when you wanted them executed. You got it? Anybody want people executed when they were at work ever? I was the only one. God, this is going over the internet. I'm going to get arrested. Step 10 tells us to detect these things early. A lot of the times, they are like some of what we wrote down in step 4, and identifying them is enough because it looks stupid. It looks stupid to get upset about somebody who's just the way they are, or something that's just the way it is. But it also says in the big book, we discuss them with someone immediately, right? That's where you have sponsorship, or you have people that you trust at work that you could say, gee, you know, this is happening. What's really going on? They'll help you see it differently. And we are promised in the big book a new freedom. I thought about a lot of that, what that means. We talk about that in the 9-step promises. I'm free of the bondage of my anger. I'm free of the bondage of my fear. I'm free of the bondage of what I want. I don't have to be in bondage to that unless I want to. Now, some days we choose it. We're not perfect. But then we say, gee, didn't work. I don't want to do that anymore. And as soon as I feel a resentment and say it's so-and-so's fault, I'm giving up my freedom. You see, whenever you get angry at somebody, you're giving up your freedom. You're in bondage to them. They have power over you. Now, how's that work for you in your life? That's why the 4 steps important, because when you do the 4-step, you see how your whole life, when you were angry, how it worked for you. It didn't work at all. And it separated you. And so that's a great thing to be able to say, you know, I don't want to be in bondage to this anymore. I don't have to be in bondage to fear. I used to have a lot of fear of everything. And over time, through the years, it's got less and less. And now when I start to get a fear, I say to myself, it's a waste of time. I say, God, please remove my fear, direct my attention to how I should be. Grateful that I'm here. Grateful that I'm alive. Grateful that I'm sober. How can I help somebody? It's just a waste of time to be afraid of things in the future that don't even exist. But yet, I lived my whole life with fear, and we're going to talk about that Sunday night. The secret, it says, if it's my fault, I have a chance to be free. I always say, I hope it's my fault. Now, what if somebody bothers you, and you don't like them? You judge them. Well, how is that your fault? You're being inconsiderate. Remember, we're all God's kids. We all have our personalities. They're just the way they are. Now, I don't have to be upset about the way they are. I should be loving and kind and tolerant to them. Maybe try to be helpful to them. Anybody have a significant other? If you do, they all have their personalities. And everybody I work with, they always have somebody. I have Patty, they have somebody. Did we just say that's the way they are? We don't have to get upset or be bothered by them. We don't have to try to change them. That's just who they are. It works a lot better than trying to change them. It says, there's an old pattern saying they did this or that to me. But if we do that, we either go back to our old way of thinking, or at least we'll be miserable. The key thing is to detect discomfort early, analyze it right away, and work your way right out of it. Now, if you're new and you're listening to this, it should be exciting. Grab somebody, get into the steps, and then you'll learn how to use these tools. Now, remember, in the beginning, they didn't wait a long time to do the steps. Why? Because if you haven't done steps 4, 1 through 9, you don't know how to live every day. You don't have any tools. So when I hear people say, well, you know, my sponsor wants me to wait to do my 4th step or something, that's fine. I don't judge that. But for me, the longer I wait to do the steps, the longer I'm sober without God and without power in my life. And I don't have any tools to use to get connected to the power. And so I try to get people. I worry more about some people I sponsor that they're taking too long with the steps than they do. My wife says, well, why are you worried? She said, well, I said, well, you know, they're not doing the work and this and that. And she says, well, you know, you're not responsible for them. But if you care about people and if you want them to have what you have, you really try to help them get through this as quickly as possible. Does that make sense? It's like you don't want to live too long without the solution. Because if you live too long without the solution, you're just going to stay in the problem. It's a lot easier to do that than to do it the way most people who are new and just learning the program. Many times, new people don't see the advantage of immediately doing this naming, analyzing, and let go. They'll let these things pile up until they have to go to someone in the program and get some help to get out from under the mess. Most people learn pretty fast after a little early help. After a while, you get skilled at spotting trouble right away. Now, I've heard some discussion on whether you do 4 steps all the time. Do you do continuous 4 steps? But to me, if you're doing step 10 every day, and if you're doing step 11 every night, you're not carrying over too much stuff. And I notice if something's bothering me for more than a day or two, I have to stop and talk to somebody about it. I have to inventory. I have to deal with it. So really, you don't want to keep the stuff too long in your head. You don't want to keep the fears going. You don't want to keep the anger going. And you certainly want to get rid of your shame and guilt and try to make amends right away. After we take this challenge for a while, it becomes exciting. The more we do step 10, the more we learn about ourselves. Now, I thought about that. What do you learn about yourself in step 10? What I learned is that I create the person that I'm not. I create the person that gets angry. I create the person that's afraid. I create the person that does bad conduct. That's not the person God created. And I don't have to be that person anymore. I can stop right away and say, I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be self-centered. I don't want to be dishonest. I don't want to be inconsiderate. And the more you do this, the quicker you want to stop because you don't want to feel bad. I don't like to feel bad. The highest thing I get out of AA each day is I feel okay. I don't know if you can relate to that, but if I feel just okay right at this moment, and I'm just okay with the world as it is, everything it is, that's really all I can ask for. Because being okay is pretty good. Being okay means I'm not disturbed. Being okay means I'm content with what's happening right now with me and God. And I like that. So I tell Patty, I said, I feel okay today. She says, great, honey, I'm glad you're okay. But what I'm telling her is I'm okay right now. And then when I'm not okay, I know I need to do step 10 right away because something's arising that's making me not okay. And what it is, it arises from me and my mind and my self-centered thinking. That's the only thing that keeps me from being okay all day long. And I mean okay with whatever's happening. We have to learn that we don't have to be happy based on what's happening out of there. We we can be okay no matter what's happening because we have God to help us see it in a way that we can deal with it in a positive way. Because bad things are going to happen to us. Things are going to happen that we don't like or we think are not good. And we have to learn to deal with them and put them in a perspective. I'm going to read a few more lines and then we'll open up. It says, we've been running from ourselves for so long, and now we can take an interest in ourselves. It's not a negative kind of self-centeredness. Instead, we begin to see what we may contribute to life, what our talents may be, what our lives are all about. Remember in the 10-step instruction in the big book on page 84, it says, after you ask God to remove your these thoughts, and after you discuss it with someone, and you make amends and forgive, what does it say? Powerful statement. It says, resolutely, we turn ourselves to those we can help. Turn yourself away from yourself. What can you help? What can you do right now? How can you be of service right in this moment? And that's a much better positive way of living than being angry and fearful. And the results will be so much better for you. Try it. And it says, what we can contribute to life, what our talents may be, what our lives are all about. This kind of self-interest is healthy. We can now have goals and ways to meet our goals. We can have success and a purpose for living. Isn't that a good goal? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stop here. We talked a lot about the 10th step, but it's good stuff. I'd like people, maybe you want to share how you're using the 10th step so people can see how it works for those who've done it. And bring your hand out next week, but I'll have some more if you don't bring it. Thank you.